This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
It's a feel-good Thursday here at 95.7 The Game. It's Willard and Dibs. Grandy, all in for Willard. So Dibs and Grandy with you here on this Thursday as we get ready for the 4th of July. All of you getting off work for the long weekend. Hope you drive safe. Have a good time with family and friends. Looking forward to the long weekend. Dibs and I, though, with you for a little more than an hour. We're talking a lot about Jonathan Kuminga and the Warriors, and I know we'll do more of that here coming up in a sec, Dibs. But first, I got to ask you, did you see the news out of the WNBA today, Dibs?
Maybe. I don't know. Talk to me.
The WNBA Coach of the Month.
Oh, I saw that, Mark.
Natalie Nicasi, the WNBA Coach of the Month. That is, of course, the head coach of your Golden State Valkyries. The Valkyries went 7-4. Yes, applause all the way around. The Valkyries went 7-4 in June. They scored an average of 82 points per game. And how about this, Dibs, for an expansion team? They had 3 wins in the month by 24 or more points.
And another one.
So definitely deserving of Coach of the Month, Natalie Nicasi of the Golden State Valkyries.
Yeah,
congrats.
Congratulations. I grimaced a little bit because I didn't know that that was a thing. And I wasn't sure if it was just a WNBA phenomenon. And I just did a quick NFL Coach of the Month Google. No such thing.
Yeah.
MLB Coach of the Month.
No
such thing. NBA Coach of the Month. Oh, yeah.
There is.
I was stunned.
I thought it was just Player and Rookie of the Month.
I thought so, too, because honestly, in general, and this is not to disrespect Natalie and the incredible year that they're all having. And
she's been amazing.
She gets a lot of the credit because she's the coach. And if they were terrible, then she would shoulder the blame. So I'm going to give her credit. But the very notion of a Coach of the Month to me feels a little bit not only small sample size Steve of it all, but I don't know, not that it's unnecessary, but to me it doesn't really have that much heft. And so because they're winning, is she a better coach this month than she was last month when they weren't winning as often? Or is she the exact same coach? You get what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, she's the same person, but you could say that the decisions that she made were largely better this month or had a more positive impact on the team this month.
You could say that, or you could say that the players that are playing are actually playing better.
Yeah, maybe.
And is that a reflection of her? It is in some ways, but I don't know. Coach of the month feels to me like a bit superfluous. Already the coach of the year thing is, it's so random, especially in the association where, you know, you have a really good team. Like, did Dagnall get coach of the year this year?
He had to have, right?
Right. They won 68 games.
I'll check.
And if he didn't, then what are we doing? And I'm looking at it right now. He won coach of the month in the West in December.
So he had to win like all
February
of them.
And March. Well, Ime Udoka won it in January.
Oh, okay.
And he won it in November. And in the East, it went Atkinson, Carlisle, Bickerstaff, Missoula.
Kenny Atkinson won Coach of the Year this year. Dagnall won the year prior.
Okay.
So,
and that, to me, that's my point. So,
Coach of the Year essentially goes to the biggest surprise of the year, which is why, assuming the Valkyries don't lose the rest of their games the rest of this season, Natalie is going to win Coach of the Year of the WNBA, because they're the biggest surprise, would be my
right. Guess. And that again, to me, is where these Coach of the Year awards, it's kind of a bunch of crap. Because Dagnall wins 68 with the Thunder, and they're the NBA champs. To me, he was the best coach because they had the best team. Unless he's just straight up rolling the ball out there. And I don't know, Mark, I had a chance to coach high school sports for 25 years. Mm-hmm. I coached at Archie Williams High School, knee Drake. It was Drake when I was there. Yeah. And we won. Three straight North Coast Section boys volleyball championships. And
dynasty.
It was a dynasty.
Yeah.
I left because I had a second kid, and they won again in 2006. And I think they went to the finals five or six more times. The program that I helped establish was self-sustaining. And so in my last year, we went 32-7. I won my third consecutive, and I was named in the countywide. I was named one of the coaches of the year.
One of?
Well, for each school gets to name their own coach of the year. And so for
all the sports?
For Drake High School, I was the coach of the year.
Out of the basketball and football?
All the teams they have. And so I went to the district office and I was feted at a banquet and I was given a plaque. And it was great.
Do you still have the plaque?
Of course. It was a great honor. But of all my years in coaching, that was the worst coaching job I ever had. I had eight seniors. Seven of them were four-year players, and we were far and away not only the best team in the county, but we were the best team in the section at our level, and we were one of the best teams in the section, period. We went to De La Salle in their tournament. We beat them. Huh. San Ramon got us at the buzzer. We were phenomenal. Me as a coach, I just showed up and put the net up and sat down.
Go get them, boys.
Exactly. So the whole idea of coach of the year, it's a bunch of garbage. That's all.
You know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of, let's see, what year would it have been? The year after KD left. So KD left the 2019 finals. So 2019-2020 Warriors year.
Yep.
So they were terrible. Klay out for the year. Steph gets hurt early in the year, misses the rest of the season. Draymond in and out when he was in, didn't seem that interested in playing. And then COVID happened and the season shut down. I think at some point before COVID shut the season down, Steve Kerr said something along the lines of, I've enjoyed my job more this year than I did last year when we had KD and when Klay was healthy and Steph was healthy, right? And was it Drew Schiller who ran a story or something along the lines of, Steve Kerr says he enjoys coaching this, you know, team that's winning 20% of their games than last year when they had Kevin Durant or something. And it kind of drew national attention and it went viral. And then the next press conference, Steve Kerr like directly called out Drew Schiller. I'm pretty sure it was Drew Schiller.
I'm looking at it right here.
You see it?
What? Steve Kerr's flap with Drew Schiller. And it was all about a tweet that Drew
Not a story. Okay.
And this is March of 2021.
So it was the following year.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, this was after, because the 19-20 year and then the 2021 year was when I think they played, 66 games that year?
And that was when they went to the play-in with rookie James Wiseman and lost to the Grizzlies in the play-in, and their season was over.
That sounds right, yeah.
Yeah, that was that year.
In that draft, they took Kuminga and Moody.
Yeah.
So I think
he said something along those lines of, this has been more fun to me he probably, maybe he was talking about a challenge, more challenging to him or whatever, and he's enjoyed the challenge, but it's kind of what you're talking about. Maybe the more rewarding coaching years are when you don't have a stacked roster and it's not, that things don't come easy to you, and that's kind of what you're talking about.
Yeah, Steve Kerr told Logan Murdoch he enjoyed last season more than Kevin Durant's final season with the Warriors, and that was Drew taking Steve's comments to Logan out of context, yeah. And then putting it out there. But it just goes back to the whole idea of coach of the year, because of my 25 years of coaching high school sports, the one time I deserved coach of the year was when I took over a girls JV basketball team that was 0-9. We lost the next 17. We went 0-26. We lost by an average of 45 points a game. We would lose 63-8, 58-7. I mean, there was no doubt we were losing by 40 or 50, but your boy coached his butt off. That, to me, was not my favorite coaching season. I got the most booze at the team party, I'll tell you that. I'm talking handles from the parents for what I went through, but that was coaching.
Booze as in...
No, with an O-O-Z-E.
Wait, what?
How you gonna boo?
Booze. I'll drink to that. Okay, gotcha.
We'd go into the locker room down 37-3. And it'd be like, hey, raise your hand if you hit that free throw. Good for you.
Way to go.
Atta kid. So, I mean, that was coaching. When you're Kerr and you've got KD and Draymond and, you know, all the talent they had.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you're coaching. You're coaching, but not like you are when you have a 15-50 team.
Take a night off.
Right.
You can take a month off and you'll be fine.
Anyway,
end of the regular season, when you have a top three seed locked up, you're like, all right, I don't even care if we win or lose.
Yep.
And that's kind of what did the Warriors in this past year, was they had to win almost every single game beginning in February to have a chance. And as we get back to the Warriors, the present day Warriors, Dibs, and before we do that, I want to remind you that you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. The inverse kind of did the Warriors in this past year, where they had to play so hard from February on just to try to make the playoffs, and that only got them into the play-in, by the way. And I think it's what makes what's going on this offseason troubling, concerning, or worrisome at least. Because what the Warriors need to do, Dibs, is they need to get off to a good enough start to begin this year that they don't have to chase down some crazy win total number at the final few months of the regular season, because they had to play Steph and Jimmy and Draymond and everybody every single game, major minutes. They had to be worried whether or not, if we play Steph 34 minutes tonight, does that mean he has to sit out the next game? And if he sits out the next game, does that mean we're going to lose and we're going to miss the playoffs as a result? The Warriors can do themselves such a gigantic favor this year if they just get off to a solid start. And instead of being 20-20 through 40 games, they're looking at 25-15 or something along those lines. 27-13 through 40 games. Because then they don't have to coast necessarily, but they don't have to push nearly as hard just to earn a top six seed in the Western Conference. And if they were to be a top six seed in the West this past year, Dibs, and not have to run their players into the ground for the final few months of the regular season, they might beat the Rockets in five or six. Steph might not get hurt versus Minnesota, and they might have been playing in Oklahoma City in the Western Conference Finals.
It's all possible, and I think about hindsight, and as Lo Neal famously would say, hindsight's 50-50. And I used to love that because, yeah, looking back, you were either right or you were wrong. So hindsight is not only 20-20, it's also 50-50. But I digest. I look more at this upcoming year, and I think about if you have Al Horford and Steph and Jimmy and Draymond, and that's four of the 20 oldest players in the association. Yeah. So how are you going to be able to elongate your season and protect them and still win games? That's where a Jonathan Kuminga would be a perfect piece for that. And I know he doesn't want to be a sometime DNP, and then now I need you to play 36 minutes. It's not ideal for him, but a young athletic player who can score when you're without Steph or Jimmy, or if Horford or Draymond needs a night because they're older players, this is where you need more young inexpensive legs on your bench to help you avoid what you're talking about.
Yeah, and that's what makes, I think, what's happening right now concerning Dibs, because you have, look, Kuminga could come back and maybe you could play him. You know what? I want to play this because this is Steve Kerr, his end of season press conference from May 16th. So we're talking about nearly 2 months ago, right? The season ended the day before, maybe 2 days before, May 14th, May 15th was game five versus the T-Wolves, one of those days. And then Steve Kerr the next day or a couple days later at Chase Center at the podium fields questions for like a half an hour from members of the media, and he was asked about Kuminga returning potentially this coming year, and here's what Steve Kerr said.
If JK comes back, we will for sure spend the early part of the season playing him with Jimmy, Draymond, Steph. I mean, to me, that would be a no-brainer.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game, like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
We didn't have that luxury this year. We're fighting. We've basically been in the playoffs since the minute we got Jimmy. And that was also when JK got hurt. So we spent, you know, whatever it was, 25 games or so without JK, and went on that run. We found a formula that worked. When he did come back, it was a tough fit. But we also didn't have the luxury of just experimenting and giving that more of a runway. If JK comes back next year, we have to look at that for sure.
Okay, so that's Steve Kerr, May 16th. If Kuminga comes back, the Warriors are going to have to experiment more. And my mind goes to two places, Dibs. Number one, it's okay, I hear you say that, but I'm not going to believe it until I see it, because everything that the Warriors have done up to this point suggests that they're hesitant that Jonathan Kuminga, with the current group that he'll be playing with, can impact winning at any given level. And then my mind also goes, are you just saying that because otherwise having him on the roster is a complete waste? Like, I don't know. I hear Steve Kerr say that, Dibs, and you have in mind what happened to the Warriors this past year and they had to race to make the playoffs, and you're trying to get off to a solid start and is experimenting early in the year the way to do that. Like, it feels like the early part of the season, Dibs, is going to be so much more valuable for the Warriors than for a lot of other teams, considering the age of their roster, whether or not you have Al Horford or not.
Agreed, and that's why I look at, you know, the camp and the offseason and what they might be able to do to make it so Jonathan Kuminga can fit. If he comes back, I can't imagine that there aren't some things that they can do, some combinations that they can play that will help JK and help this team as you get into an 82-game marathon. Because last year, even if you look at games played, Draymond was healthy. Draymond played a lot last year. We ended up playing 68 or almost 70 games.
Something like that.
And, you know, that was ideal because he didn't have a real injury, and Steph didn't have one until you got to the very end. And, you know, I don't think that Jimmy Butler is a guy that you want to play more than 70 games again. Steph played 70, Draymond 68, and, you know, you ended up with Jimmy Butler played 30 for you, and he probably played about 40 for Miami. He would have played more, but he got into that situation where he got, you know, suspended and the rest of it. But
trying to think, since he debuted for the Warriors, he missed the game in Philadelphia, Jimmy did, and then he missed, did he miss any other regular season games? I don't think so, right?
Yeah, I know.
He missed, of course, two games in the playoffs versus the Rockets, but that's it. So once you had Jimmy, he played almost every single day.
Exactly.
Much like Steph and Draymond.
And I just think about, you know, the fact that you did catch some breaks last year in health. Steph was able to play 70, and that probably is about as much as you're going to want him to play. And Draymond the same, 68. And, you know, you've got Pods and Moody coming back. And if you don't have Kuminga and you don't have Kevon, well, now you're starting to get into TJD. You're going to need him to play more minutes, and Quentin Post and Gee. And so now you're going to really be leaning on young guys to eat up a lot more minutes.
And it would be great to have Kuminga, and I'm with you. But again, I'm just going off of the, I don't know, what we have been subject to and what we've seen from not just Kuminga as a player, but from the Warriors' decision makers. And when they're willing to throw Kuminga out there, it kind of feels like it's been at times a last resort. And if things are going all right, then we don't need Kuminga to do all that. Like, this answer, Dibs, that I'm about to play for you has become kind of a famous one here on Willard and Dibs. You had Steve Kerr on, you and Willard had Steve Kerr on May 22nd, the week after the Warriors season ended. And it was his last interview to this point on Willard and Dibs, and he'll be back, of course, for the upcoming season. But this was the final interview that he conducted with you guys on this show for the 2024-25 season. And I don't know who asked the question, but essentially the question, Dibs, was, and he was talking about Kuminga and the up and down season that he had and what he needs to improve on, and you guys essentially asked, do you think Kuminga can make the necessary adjustments to fit this team's needs? And this is how Steve Kerr answered the question.
I do, but it's, again, it's, you know, we're you go down the path and you try to get, you know, kind of habits that are built, and, you know, you want them to be consistent. And so you know, in year four, you would hope that those things are coming. And I would say they have been inconsistent. I'm talking about the rebounding front and taking care of the ball. And so, look, I mean, I've tried to explain this, you know, to our fans and to you guys over the course of the year. But the way the team is built, you know, we've got two guys in Jimmy and Steph who are two of the very best in the league, and they're going to have the ball in their hands. We have two guys in Steph and Draymond who are going to turn the ball over quite a bit. It's just kind of the nature of their games. You know, the fit with Jonathan, and I've been very open with him about this as well, the fit is a little tricky when he's a guy who needs the ball and he's a guy who turns the ball over a lot.
I mean, that's a pretty telling answer. Again, the question is, hey, Steve, do you feel like Kuminga can adjust his game to better fit you and your roster? And Steve says,
I do, but...
Like, to me, Dibs, we talk about how important it is for the Warriors to get off to a good start, and Steve Kerr has talked about that, and not have to chase just the hopes of a postseason berth for the final couple of months of the regular season. That, to me, it feels like that idea, along with the idea of Jonathan Kuminga being back on the roster, I'm having a hard time accepting that both of those things can happen. Because Kuminga back on the roster, the Warriors will be forced to play him because they have to, because he's young and he's got potential, and the Warriors are old and they need all of the youth and athleticism that they could get, but it's going to be still an experiment, and they're going to see, can this work? Can that work? Can this combination work? Oh, that one doesn't. Let's try this one now. And by the time they either find something that works or they realize this is not working, you might be off to a bad start, and you have last year all over again.
You do, but at the same time, what other choice do you have? If there's nothing else out there, sign and trade, or another team that wants to pay him a lot, then you're kind of back to where he had that answer, which he's trying to talk himself into how it's going to work. And he starts with, I do, but, and he goes through all the buts of, well, he needs the ball, and will Steph and Jimmy have that? And Draymond and Steph, they turn it over a lot, and he kind of does too.
Yep.
And I don't, is he willing to do all the things that we need him to do? And that is where I am, kind of stuck in this whole thing, because if Jonathan Kuminga shows a willingness after all this plays out, and if it plays out where he has to come back and be a Warrior, can he do the little things that the Warriors need him to do? And I know he's not the same player as Brandon Pajemski, but Pods does many of those little things that they ask him to do. And Pods gets 5 rebounds a game as a guy who is, 6'2", maybe 6'3", tops. And, that puts him behind only Draymond and Jimmy Butler in his short stint, and Kevon, who's gone. He gets 5 rebounds a game, and he is pretty good as a passer, and he doesn't turn it over a ton, and he plays some defense. He's usually not out of position. He might get blown by, which he does. So do many Warriors, but he's usually in the right place and he makes the right play. He gets on the floor. He hustles and he rebounds. The little things that you would hope Jonathan Kuminga can assimilate toward doing, because as Willard says a lot, the job that he wants, Kuminga wants, that job is not available. And it's Steph's job, then Jimmy Butler, then it would be Jonathan Kuminga on the here, go cook, as our offensive threat list.
Yeah, and I saw someone earlier, and I think it might have been on the YouTube chat, and at this point it's buried. I can't go back and find exactly who it was, so I apologize. But 888-957-9570, if you want to join the conversation, the question or the point essentially was, oh man, now I've lost my entire train of thought. I can't even remember what it was.
Hang in there.
It'll come back to me. It was about Kuminga and his role and what's being asked of him, but it was just totally not what the Warriors need from him. And it's exactly what you were just talking about, but I can't remember the exact context.
That's okay.
And of what the problem.
Again, this is not any knock on Kuminga. It's just, this is the situation where you have high usage players in Steph Curry. He's very high usage, and you want him to be high usage because he's your best player. He's one of the best players. Jimmy Butler's not high usage, but he has a certain skill set where he's going to get the ball and he's going to go out and try to get a bucket, and he's better at that than Kuminga. And Kuminga's also a guy who is high usage, meaning when he has the ball, a play is going to happen, either a shot for him or, in other people's case, a pass that sets up a shot for somebody else. And so if Kuminga thrives in that setting and you don't have that setting to offer him, then he's got to be able to adapt and do other things.
Yeah, and to this point, whether it's because of a lack of opportunity, which is fair, or it's an inability from Kuminga itself, it hasn't happened yet.
Consistently. And
consistently.
That's one thing that Steve said in there. Yep.
And if I am trying to gauge whether I think it will happen now, I just lean to the no, because until I see it happen consistently, I'm not going to expect it to. And if the Warriors are expecting it to, I don't think they are, but if they're expecting it to, and oh, by the way, if he comes back no matter what the circumstances, whether it's what the Warriors want or what they're forced to do, if he comes back, they kind of have to hope that it happens. But that's exactly what it is. It's just hope. And I don't think that they have a gigantic belief that it's going to be that different, because it was what Slater reported, was it last week, 2 weeks ago now? What Kuminga wants, he just wants the opportunity to have the ball in his hands a lot and score 20-plus points and be the guy on offense for a team. And as long as Steph and Jimmy Butler are healthy, that's not happening here.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, that's just the reality of where this team is in this championship window. And just looking at usage percentage, which is the estimate of the percentage of team plays that the player is basically involved in.
Okay.
Steph was at 29.8. Kuminga was second on the team at 27.4.
Wow.
And that is...
that's crazy they're that comparable.
Right. I mean, just barely behind Steph. And
wow.
I know some of that is by design when Steph goes out. And this was before Jimmy came. But Jimmy Butler is all the way down at, well, ninth. But if you take out Pat Spencer and you take out Kevin Knox and Braxton Key, who barely played, then Jimmy Butler moves up to sixth. But behind Schroeder, Dub Nation, this is Andrew Wiggins, behind Melton while he was here. And so, yeah, I mean,
Dub Nation.
Even Jimmy Butler, he has a usage rate that's basically the same as Buddy Hield.
What is it? What's the number?
20.6, which is, you know, for Buddy, it's basically you go over there, and when we need you, we're going to find you, and you just shoot it, buddy. You know,
don't put the ball on the floor.
No, we'd rather you not. And for Jimmy, it's a little different. Like, it's, you know, let's call a play for Jimmy, an ISO and a post up, and then now Jimmy, you go and get it done. So their usages are done in different ways, but that just illustrates the need for the ball relative to, you know, where the other players are.
And we're going to go to the phones here in a sec. Mitch and Drew, I see you. And if you were to, what, Jimmy's usage is 20%?
Yep.
Right around there. If you were to ask Jimmy, he would probably say, I like it a little bit more around 17.
Probably.
Like, he doesn't like it that high. How many times did he say that? Like, no, I like to set others up. I don't want the ball in my hands at the end of the shot clock. Like, I am here to get everybody else involved. When it's my time to score, I will score. Not necessarily Kuminga wants more than what his was, which was 27% or whatever it was.
Yep.
I don't know if Kuminga would necessarily want more than that. That's a pretty healthy chunk, but the difference is Jimmy will get the ball, should get the ball more often than Kuminga. Jimmy doesn't even want it that much in the first place.
Yeah, he wants to make the right play. And just looking at Jimmy's career over the last 7 or 8 years in Miami and in Philly, he was around 24, 26, 26% usage. But you come here to Golden State and you realize you're playing with Steph Curry.
Yeah, that takes a dip.
It takes a dip, and he wants it to take a dip, to your point.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if Kuminga looks at it that way, and I don't fault him for it because he's 4 years in and he wants to cook and he wants the bag, and I would want the same thing. But the structure of this offense is a guy like Jimmy Butler is taking a big step back in how much he wants the ball, so everyone else should kind of fall in line.
Yeah. 888-957-9570. Let's go back out to the phone lines. Mitch is in Maryland and wants to weigh in on the Warriors. Mitch, how you doing? You're on with Dibs and Grandy on Willard and Dibs. How you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
No problem, man.
You know, I agree with everything you guys are saying, but I mean, look at the Warriors' composition. I have 2 points to make. The Warriors' composition is faulty in the sense that they are, you know, a well-orchestrated symphony of Kerr's misfit toys. All right, each of the players does something that he thinks that they're good at, but they can't carry an offense on their own. So if the two main cogs of the team, namely Steph Curry or Jimmy Butler, goes down, they're stuck. They can't get any points. But yet, every offseason, they go looking for more misfit parts. And the latest foray into this is potentially getting some point guard that averaged 3 points a year for Sacramento and Dario Saric for Kuminga. That's not going to solve their problems when Curry breaks down because he's overstressed or you know, Butler gets worn down because he's guarding players bigger than him. Another thing is they never go after athletic bigs. Why not? Why do they consistently rely on bigs that cannot guard athletic players and block shots? So their composition, I think, is intentional, but it's faulty. And an increasingly athletic and you know, difficult West is going to be to their detriment. Now, if the Warriors can't make – now, in Kuminga's defense, okay, Kuminga has highs and lows like all the other Warrior players. Nobody's consistent. You can't name a Warrior that you can count on for 20 points a game outside of Curry and Butler. That being said, Kuminga's highs are higher, I think, than Moody's highs. And I think they're comparable to Podinsky's highs. I mean, Podinsky's made a lot of bonehead plays, but he doesn't get penalized and called out, you know, and demonized for that. And I think Kerr has degraded Kuminga's market value by consistently publicly calling him out instead of coaching him in the background, like a Mike Brown probably would have done. So there's no wonder why we can't generate any trade interest in him. But if the relationship is irreparable and we have to trade them, please do not trade them for more bit parts. If we can get Malik Monk, get him. The guy is a human scoring machine off the bench, and that's what we need. We need somebody who can spell Curry and Butler for a period of time and, you know, not have Curry be overworked when he comes back in, you know, for taking a 10-minute, you know, break. But for some reason, They seem to shy away from players that can help them, and I don't understand it. I feel like it's Kerr's need to have the final say in these talent acquisition decisions. And if it's not one of Kerr's system guys or somebody who he thinks can conceptualize and fit in the system, he passes them up. And there are countless players we could have had on the cheek that we passed up because of that. And I feel like that's hurting us, and somebody needs to call that out.
I hear you, Mitch, and you make a lot of interesting points. In terms of, one, you're talking about that reported sign-and-trade deal, Kuminga and the Sacramento Kings. The Kings would give the Warriors Devin Carter and Dario Saric.
Just, yeah.
It's not happening.
Thank
like,
you.
It's just not happening.
You and I both are in agreement that that is a bunch of hooey.
No, it's not happening. So get that out of your head. It's not going to happen. Don't worry about it. If it does happen, then the Warriors are going to have to answer, because that would be a disaster if that were to happen.
You'd be better off with a disgruntled, doesn't-fit Kuminga on a one-year deal, knowing that you probably get nothing for him after another year. That still would be better than taking on those two players.
They're comparable at the very least.
The
yeah.
idea about them never going after an athletic big man, I think it's an interesting notion, and I have two responses. First, those athletic big men are very hard to acquire, and you saw Miles Turner, who I think would fit that bill, as somebody who was, you know, never even reached free agency. It was a sign and trade, and I don't think the Warriors could afford it.
Signed a 4-year, $107 million deal.
That is almost $27 million per year, which is too rich for their blood. And yep. The other piece of it, and this is something that many fans rail against, and you can understand it and dislike it, but this is what they do, and they've won 4 championships doing it. They don't want just any big athletic center. They want a certain type of big athletic center, one who can stretch the floor, defend a little bit, and do the things that fit into the Warriors scheme. And so I don't think that there are that many players out there. DeAndre Ayton's a great example. Double-double in his first 7 years in the association. I don't think that he fits with what they're trying to do. And ultimately, he was too rich for their blood too, but that becomes a good example for me of a big who, he's a good serviceable center in certain systems, but not this one. Like, for the Lakers, he's perfect. They're never going to pass him the ball. Like, all his buckets are going to be on, well, I guess a lob is a pass, but you get my point. They're not just going to run some stuff for him. Luka, his usage is one of the top 3 in the association, and LeBron more and more is a point guard, but he uses it a lot, and then Austin Reeves, and so Ayton, go ahead and run to the rim and rebound, but that's all we're going to need you for. The Warriors don't play that way.
What did Ayton go for? Is it $8 million? That's something like that with the Lakers. It's honestly not a terrible number.
It's not, but part of that is because he's already getting paid by Portland.
But the Lakers got, I think, decent value for him. Now, we'll see how he plays, and could the Warriors use him? Yeah, probably. But is he exactly the kind of big that they're looking for? No, probably not, and I think he's shown a lot of other attributes just in terms of drive and motor that the Warriors have zero interest in. So that move, the Warriors missing on on Ayton doesn't really bother me all that much. Now, the other thing that our caller brought up, which I think is interesting, and I know there's a lot of Warrior fans that do feel this way. We got a couple more calls that we will get to. Drew, an angry vegan, I see you. We're coming to you in a bit.
Angry vegan?
But our previous caller talking about how Kerr, whether it was purposeful or not, doesn't matter. Kerr tanked Kuminga's value. Kerr ruined Kuminga's value. I think there is a conversation to be had here, Dibs, because the Warriors do not get to the situation they're currently in where you have a restricted Kuminga, you're staring down the barrel of the gun of him potentially taking your qualifying offer, playing for you for one more year under $7.9 million, the qualifying offer, and then walking for free. That reality is a reality because the market for Kuminga is so sparse. It's dried up. And the Warriors kind of perfectly middled this Kuminga situation, Dibs, where they played him just enough and he showed just enough where he feels like he knows he's capable of X, Y, and Z, and that he feels that he deserves, you know, all $30 million a year or whatever the number is that he has in his mind because he did it in the playoffs, right? He had that like 2-week stretch before he got hurt, or maybe it was more than that, like a month-long stretch. Yeah. Where he was really, really good. The team wasn't winning a ton of basketball games, but that wasn't really his fault necessarily. It was more a case of the lack of talent on the rest of the roster, but he was playing really good basketball. He got enough of a taste of like, all right, I am capable of this every single night in the right situation. I am going to settle for nothing less than, again, whatever the money is. But they also didn't play him enough, or at least not enough key moments, to where every other team or a handful of teams throughout the league feel confident in banking on who that guy is. That is actually who he is. If you played him more, you at least, Dibs, would have gotten some level of certainty one way or another. This is who Kuminga is. I've seen it now over the course of a 40-game stretch and in the playoffs. Okay, I feel good about giving that guy $25, $30 million a year because I've seen it for long enough. The Warriors, they perfectly middled this, Dibs, where they kind of created the situation that they're fearing now where there's no market for Kuminga. Now, it wasn't purposeful. Steve Kerr and the Warriors did what they did to just win basketball games. They put out the lineup that they felt gave them the best chance to win. And in the moment, I can't really blame them for that. But a result of that and those decisions, Dibs, I think is a big reason why they're in the situation they are right now, because they, through those decisions, kind of created a market for Kuminga that is almost non-existent.
Well, and also the market is non-existent too. So what you just laid out, I don't fully disagree with because a couple things played into it. One, the ankle injury, he missed 31 games. And before that, yeah. I was just looking at the game log. He missed two due to illness. After that, he came out and he played in 17 straight. He started 7 of those games and he averaged 19 a game. And he averaged 20 a game. And he shot 37% from three, which is, you'll take 37% yeah. from Kuminga. And he actually shot 65% from the foul line. You'd like that to be a little bit better. The team went 6-11. So JK cooked, and he got 29 minutes a game, and he started 7 of them, and the team was 6-11. So, and I'm not putting this all on Jonathan Kuminga, but even though he played great and he had 34 at the Clippers, they lost by 10. 34 in a win over Phoenix.
Yep.
He had, you know, 26 in a loss to Indiana. So there was a lot of these games where he was cooking and the team was not necessarily winning games. So I do think that, I don't think the Warriors intentionally depressed his market. I think that they were trying their level best to win. And even through this stretch, he averaged 20 a game over the better part of a month and a half, and then the ankle goes, and he's out for 2 months, and then you get Jimmy Butler, and it's a whole different ballgame.
That changed things. But I also think the acquisition of Jimmy Butler, whether or not Kuminga was healthy at that time, also would have changed things, and we probably would have gotten to a similar point, say in the playoffs, when Steph's healthy, Kuminga wasn't playing. I think that probably happens whether or not Kuminga gets hurt, because just the nature of what Jimmy Butler does on the Warriors roster, it kind of makes what the Warriors don't need Kuminga scoring nearly as much when they have Jimmy Butler alongside Steph, because it's just
they get the scoring from other situations as a result of Jimmy Butler's ability to get others involved.
Exactly. And so when he comes back in March 13th, it's a whole different team. And, you know, he's not starting anymore, obviously, and that led to some DNPs down the road. So his market, I think, was hurt by the role that he had, also the ankle injury, but equally what has happened to the market. And with this collective bargaining agreement and all these teams fearful of going into the tax and into the punitive aprons, the fact that no team has money and he got hurt and his role diminished, because he's not the only restricted guy sitting out there still. We mentioned it before. You got Giddy and two or three other guys who are in the same boat. Exactly.
Yeah.
These guys are also waiting for that bag, and it's just not out there.
And they both had, I mean, all in all, they probably had better years than Kuminga.
Right.
Giddy did at least the tail end of the year, and Quentin Grimes had amazing games and moments. Maybe the ceiling isn't quite as high for a guy like Grimes as Kuminga, but it's not like those two are coming off of...
Didn't Grimes have 50 one game? Or
I think it was against the Warriors when he was with Philly.
Oh, that's right.
Right?
Might not have been 50, but it was...
It was at least 40.
Yep.
It might have been 50. But he was also a Maverick that they traded at the deadline. They got rid of Luka and Quentin Grimes. Then Quentin Grimes went on and had an amazing season the rest of the year. 888-957-9570. Drew is in Sunnyvale and wants to weigh in. What's up, Drew?
Hey, guys. Happy 4th. What's going on?
Not much, man. Happy 4th. How you doing?
Yeah, doing good. Doing good. So, yeah, I sort of wanted to, like, go through the timeline of, like, JK with the Warriors post-Jimmy acquisition, right? And so... and then how it leads into what JK might be, what his role might be if he does come back, right? So when Jimmy was acquired by the Warriors, obviously they went on this run. They were playing extremely well. And then obviously JK comes in and the fit is very unclear. And more importantly, the Warriors start to lose games as Dibs alluded to earlier in this discussion that you guys were having, right? And so when JK started to sit were games in which the Warriors had must-win games. They had a must-win game in game 82 against the Clippers. They lost that game, but and then the next game they had a must-win, an absolute must-win against Memphis. They end up winning that game, and these were without JK playing, without JK in the lineup, right? So I think it was a situation where JK was coming off injury and Steve Kerr could not figure out a way for JK to fit in and for the Warriors to still win games. So I do think that is the reason JK sat during those games and in the playoffs, basically the pivotal games. But I don't think that necessarily leads into this year as much as Grandy thinks it does. I actually think if JK were to come back, and I think it's a big if for reasons I'll state a little later on, because I think that if JK were to re-sign, Steph, Jimmy, and Draymond, if the Warriors are lucky, will probably play 60 games this year together with the Warriors, right? And this is without injury, this is purely like rest, load management type of deal, right? And so I think there is a lot of opportunity for JK next year to play and to play well and increase his value through starting when one of those three guys are out, right? But the issue and the question is, would JK want to be yo-yoed like that? Does JK want a consistent role? Or does JK would JK not mind a role like that where he can go and score and prove his value before hitting the free agent market either 1 or 2 years from now? So I think that's where JK's head is at. I think he wants a consistent role. And I also think the Warriors would rather trade him. But as we've seen in the first couple of days of free agency, neither player has full control over what, or neither party has full control over what happens here. And I mean, a team needs to want JK and sign him to his number. And then the Warriors need to be able to have a trade in which they feel comfortable with the return. And like this give and take is, I think that is what is taking so long. And I think it can take it has potential to take a very long time. and probably not happen at all, to the point where I think JK probably takes a 2-year deal with a player option the second year. I think there's just too much give and take here to where the Warriors and JK come to a resolution and he comes back.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Drew. Interesting. The question you asked there in the middle of your call, essentially, like in terms of what JK wants in a role, let me phrase it to you this way, Dibs. Say Kuminga comes back, and I don't really care what the contract is. If it's for 1 year, if it's for 3-4 years, right, doesn't matter. Just say he's back this coming year. He's playing still behind Steph and Jimmy and Draymond. But as Drew laid out, those three are probably going to miss quite a decent chunk of games, whether they're hurt or not, just for the sake of keeping them fresh when April comes around. They're going to miss some games. So Kuminga is likely going to have, you know, at least a handful of games where he's probably like the featured scorer. Like, I would imagine that would be the case. Do you think he would prefer being yo-yoed like that? Or say 80% of the games that he plays, he's, I don't know, your seventh man off the bench, and he's playing 20 minutes a game, and he's scoring, I don't know, like 13 points per game.
Yeah.
Would he prefer that, and then 20% of the time being the featured guy and playing 30 minutes, or would he want somewhere more in the middle where he's still not the guy every night, but he's playing more minutes every single night no matter what? Like, does the 20% chunk of his games and where he's the guy, is that enough for him, or would he prefer a more consistent, straightforward, maybe on average a little more per night role?
Probably more consistent, I would guess. And I can't speak for his thoughts and feelings, but just looking at last year, he played in 47 games, 10 starts. And in those 10 starts, he averaged about 17 a game. And he played, how many minutes? He played 28 minutes a game as a starter, 37 games off the bench, and he played 23 minutes. So 5 fewer minutes. And he averaged 15 points, so 2 points less. And that was the majority of the games he came off the bench, and he was only getting 23 minutes. And I know some of this is skewed because he got hurt in the game in the first quarter, and yeah, there was another game where, you know, a couple games where he didn't get to play much at all, so those numbers definitely plummeted. But the other one I looked at, almost identical records with Steph and with JK, and without Steph, and without JK. In those games, The team's record almost identical. When JK played in those 47 games, he was a +6 for the year. +6 in the plus-minus.
So essentially nothing. Like, over that large of a sample size, that means
correct,
nothing.
Steph Curry played in 70 games. He was a +299.
That's a big deal.
Right.
It's
so
Steph. It's obvious.
299 versus +6. And, you know, I won't even hammer the people with the pods because, you know, people who don't like pods don't want to hear it, but he was a +259.
That's pretty good.
On the year. So, I mean, like him or hate him, think he's overrated or whatnot, when he played throughout the whole year, 64 games, they were...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Plus 259. That's probably second best on the team.
And over the course of a season, that's when plus minus is like a meaningful statistic.
Exactly.
Because that's a big enough sample where you say, generally, when this guy is playing, the Warriors are doing good things.
Well, I like to look at plus minus relative to the team on a given night. Mm. For example, the last game of the year against the Clippers, Pods was a plus 12. The team was a minus 5.
Yeah.
So on that night, he was 17 points better than the collective. Again, it's a little bit of a cherry pick of a stat, but
the way to think about it there is when he was off the floor, the Clippers outscored the Warriors by 17 points.
Right. And so for me, it's good to look at plus minus as it relates to a player's impact versus the whole collective on a given night.
No doubt. 888-957-9570. We got a bunch of you that want to weigh in. Let's sneak in one more before we take our last commercial break. Angry Vegan joins us now. What's up, Angry Vegan?
Hey, man, happy 4th. Gibbs, kind of, in a way, you must be psychic. You stole my thunder, but I've been listening the last couple of weeks. Of course, I love J.K. I want him, but whenever, half the time when people talk about J.K., it's like, why did Pajemski get minutes? The guy led all rookies in plus-minus in his rookie year, led the entire league in drawn charges in his rookie year, had an incredible assist-to-turnover ratio in his rookie year, and always busts his butt on rebounding, none of which Kuminga does on a consistent basis, and they play different positions. So it's a mystery to me why whenever people bring up Kuminga, they're like, why did Pods get minutes? Well, if they actually bother to look at the numbers, they'll see. It's plain as day. And maybe somebody will say, oh, plus minus doesn't mean anything in a limited sample. Yeah, but over the course of the season, it means a lot. So, I don't know. I just find that constant argument ridiculous, you know?
Yeah.
That's it.
No. Thanks for the call, Angry Vegan.
Yeah, and I was going to ask him why he's so angry. I mean, usually vegans are a pretty zen group of people. You know, you don't often find a lot of angry vegans unless you're hangry. He could be the hangry vegan
because
you're not eating enough. But I do think that, for me, it doesn't come down to Pods or Kuminga. I just look at the Kuminga part of it and I think about games where he plays great offensively. He's got the ha-ha. He fills up the box score. Those don't always lead to victories for the team.
I could look at this during the commercial break that we're taking here in just a sec, but I will say plus-minus can also be influenced, and in fact, it is heavily influenced by who you're sharing the floor with.
Yep.
So if a gigantic chunk of Pods' minutes are alongside Steph, and a much smaller chunk of Kuminga's minutes are with Steph, and that is going to partly explain the gigantic difference there. But when a number is that different, Pods versus Kuminga's, generally there's going to be some truth to the fact, no matter who you're sharing the floor with.
So just a quick glance, Draymond Green for the year was a plus 275. So to your point, if Draymond and Steph are both almost plus 300 and Pods is in the mid-200s because he plays with them a lot.
They're going to carry whoever's on the floor with them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that is, even looking at the totality of a season of plus-minus, it is skewed in part by who you get to play with.
No doubt. All right, time for a break. We got one more segment left with you here on this Thursday and for this week. I see you, Gene, and oh, it's not a Friday, Dibs, but it is basically a Friday. So
okay,
you know who else,
okay.
You know who else we got in the line. I don't even need to say his name. Nope. We all know who I'm talking about. We'll get to both those guys when we come back. We're sponsored by Crystal Geyser Alpine Spring Water, and it's not breaking news, but we do have a Dame Lillard update that I will share with you when we come back. It's Willard and Dibs, Dibs and Grandy with you. More next after this on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. Final 10 minutes with you here on this Thursday on the 3rd of July as we get ready for a long holiday weekend, 4th of July. We're off tomorrow here on 95.7 The Game. It's Dibs and Grandy. I'm in for Willard today. Thanks so much for hanging out with us here over the last 3 hours and 45 minutes. Been a lot of fun talking some Dubs with you. Dibs, we got a couple calls to get to, and we will do that before we say bye.
Okay.
But what do you want first, the Dame Lillard update or the Pajemski Kuminga two-man rotation numbers?
Oh,
I got both for you.
Let's go to the numbers first.
Okay.
Because we were just hitting on a lot of numbers, but yeah, let's hear those
Pajemski kids.
That's right.
So Steph Curry and Brandon Pajemski shared the floor for 652 minutes this year, Dibs.
Okay.
And the Warriors had a positive 10.4 net rating. So they outscored their opponents on average.
And that's a two-man group?
Two-man group.
And how did that rank for the team? Do you know that just offhand? Like where that two-man... Because I think the Steph and Draymond is usually near the top of two-man lineups.
Net rating, the way that this works on NBA.com is they give you every two-man combo, even if they've only played like 1 minute together.
Okay.
So I would have to scroll.
That's all right. I thought you were on Basketball Reference, but I could find that on the reference. But go ahead and
the highest like 200 or more minutes shared. The highest two man game is actually Pajemski and Looney. Oddly enough, that two man lineup has a net rating of 19.
Okay,
which is really really good. But specifically, where did this go here? Steph Curry and Brandon Pajemski, again, they played 652 minutes together, net rating at 10.4. Pretty good net rating. Steph Curry and Jonathan Kuminga played 545 minutes together, so still a gigantic chunk, and their net rating was 9.4. So similar. Essentially, I mean, for all intents and purposes, almost the same. But that, as we were trying to figure out, Dibs, that doesn't explain why Pajemski's overall net plus minus is so much higher than Kuminga's. If Steph and Pajemski was ranked a lot higher and played a lot more minutes than Steph and JK, that would explain part of it. But because they played both 500 plus minutes together and the net ratings are pretty darn positive, it means that the difference between Pajemski and Kuminga's net plus minus was when they were not sharing the floor with Steph. There was something else that was the big impact, and generally you would think that the impact was Pajemski himself and Kuminga himself.
Right, and I'm just looking at the Basketball Reference version of the stat you're rolling out, and the best according to this, and this is plus-minus point differential, it's Pods and Jimmy is your number one, and then Pods and Steph is number four, Pods and Moody's number five, and you go down to nine before you get your first Kuminga. Mm. And it's Kuminga and Curry. And then you get to 15 Pods and Draymond, 17 Kuminga and Hield. So as you go down this list, you got a lot more Pods with whomever than you do Kuminga with those same whomevers.
So generally, with that data, we can draw the conclusion that Pajemski, when he's on the floor, good things tend to happen for the Warriors.
In a two-man combo, yeah.
For whatever
and
reason.
You extrapolate out to three-man combos, and you get mostly the same. The top three, in fact, are Pods in those three-man combos. It's Steph Moses and Pods, Jimmy Steph and Pods, Jimmy Draymond and Pods.
Yeah.
Of three-man combinations. So he's a connector in whatever ways you want to see it. And, you know, stats like this full season indicate that he can play with a lot more disparate types of players than Kuminga can.
All right. Real quick Dame update, then we'll close things out with two calls. This comes from Chris B. Haynes. He writes on Twitter, sources, free agent star Damian Lillard is open to signing with the team this offseason under the right terms and conditions as he begins rehabbing or continues rehabbing. He is receiving ample interest but is in no rush to make a decision. But up to this point, we didn't really know. Maybe he just take the whole year off and rehab on his own and then sign next offseason and get ready for the following year. But it does seem like he's open to signing now and rehabbing in a team's facility and then getting ready for maybe late this coming year or next year as well. But just a little Damian Lillard update there. Maybe he signs at some point this month. We shall see.
Yeah.
My man!
You never know. And if you're Dame, you have the luxury of waiting because you got waived. And so that money is going to be yours. And what, it's about $120 million or something that he's going to end up collecting over time. And so whatever he signs for is just going to be a discount that Milwaukee gets on that. So he doesn't have to really drive a hard bargain. It's just a question of what team would he want to play for and then see you in March, basically.
All right. Final two calls before we get on out of here today. Up first is Gene in Oakland. Gene, what's up? You coming from the dog park?
I'm actually at the dog park as we speak.
There you go.
My dog is kind of waiting for me here. First of all, quickly, and I don't want to get too far into it, but I'm not crazy about the whole Damian Lillard idea. I just don't see how that works. I mean, unless he wants to come off the bench, he can still shoot, but who knows what kind of condition he's going to be when he finally recovers from this horrible injury and he doesn't play any defense. So I don't know. I mean, if we can get him at a veteran minimum, sure, but I'm pretty certain he's not going to want to do that. So anyways. Turning to Kuminga, you guys talking about Pajemski and comparing to Kuminga, I think is an excellent segue with what I want to say. As I said a couple of days ago, I expect this is a rude awakening for the young man to see that he's not garnering any interest out there. Something like 70-plus moves made, and none of them include him. And the reason is he's just not anywhere near a complete player. And he can be, you know, he just has to work hard at it. He has to commit to it. And he has to start by, you know, coming off the bench as he has been, maybe as a regular sixth or seventh player, and just work his head off, work his ass off to learn all these other skills he needs to have if he is going to be a starter and a star and whatever else he wants to
be. I hear you. I hear you, Gene. Sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but we just don't have a lot of time.
Yeah, up against it, Gene. And yeah, I guess we'll find out if he comes back, if he's willing to do just what you described.
And I think there's a pretty decent possibility that he does come back in one way or another, whether it's on a one-year deal, a two-year deal, a three-year deal, who the hell knows. But I think that possibility is a pretty safe bet at this point, honestly. All right. Time for the final call of the week. Take us home. It's Kurt in the Hayward Hills. Kurt, how you doing?
Hey, Dibs and Grandy, the two best sports boys in the Bay Area.
What about Willard? I thought he was one of the best boys. What about Willard?
No, you're one of the boys now, brother. You're one of the boys.
Yeah, we had to kind of haze his way into the gang, but now he's a made man now. He's part of it, Kurt.
He's a made man. We're going to keep him under contract, and we're making him a made man, even though he has to go for a few tests, but he'll be okay because he's one of the boys.
That's exactly right, Kurt. Ooh. How you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. You know, I just want to make it short and to the point. Hey, Kuminga, you know, I've been talking about Kuminga. And let me tell you about Kuminga. Joe, the owner of the Warriors, he likes Kuminga. He signed Kuminga. And let me tell you, Kuminga's not going anywhere. I'm going to tell you why he's not going anywhere. First of all, they tarnished his name and they tarnished his playing experience when they didn't play him for a whole year off the bench. They didn't play him, and they tarnished him. That's why nobody wants to pay him. He's not a superstar yet, but he definitely can be. As far as I'm concerned, he's an electrifying player. He's young. He makes a few mistakes. But the bottom line is somebody has to pull him under their wings and polish the kid. And that's what he needs, to be polished. If he comes back, the Warriors only got two more years to be championship, to become a championship team. Next year or the following year, it's got to be next year. You got the three veterans. They're not going anywhere. Green's not going anywhere. Forget about that idea. Curry's the best shooter in the world. You got Jimmy, also a great player. What they do is those three guys with Kuminga, and they need Kuminga. He's a young guy off the bench. I don't see anybody better on that team off the bench than Kuminga. You're going to tell me Post and those guys are better than Kuminga? Maybe they shoot better than him, but they don't play and quick and swift like he plays. He doesn't dribble the ball great, but he needs to be polished, fellas. That's the bottom line. They got to polish him, take him back. Joe likes him. And Kuminga, you're not going to get anywhere until you do exactly what the Warriors say, and then maybe you might get a chance somewhere else. You're not a superstar yet, but you are an electrifying player.
Hey, Kurt, let me ask you this. If Kuminga comes back to the Warriors and Steve Kerr refuses to play him, what would you say? Bringing us home on a Thursday.
Atta boy.
That felt good to just get tee one up for him.
Yeah,
you know?
You did great.
My best.
And, you know, we got through a nice lengthy call, and, you know, we got Gene in Oakland from the dog park. It now feels like we're in a good spot to head into a wonderful 3-day weekend.
I feel complete now, dude.
Yes, absolutely.
I definitely do. All right. Happy 4th to everybody out there. Have a safe and fun holiday weekend. For the guys behind the glass, shout out to Cam, shout out to Zach, for my partner Dibs. Dibs, it's been great hanging out with you the last 4 hours. I'll see you again on Monday, huh?
No doubt, yeah.
All right. For Dibs, for Grandy, for Cam, for Zach, thanks so much for tuning in. What's coming up next on the game is the 4th of July weekend. It's brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. We got some weekend coverage. Giants talk 9 to noon on Saturday, and then Valkyrie's back in action coming up on Saturday as well, and then we'll all be back coming up on Monday here on 95.7 The Game. Have a good 4th of July weekend. We'll talk later on 95.7 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.